We'll be in Matthew 14, if you would go there this morning, Matthew 14. Be back looking at where's your faith and what kind of faith should we have? The faith that we need to have in our Lord and Savior as we think about our great country today and thankful to God for being able to be born and raised in this country and the liberty we have today that many people are attacking the very values of our country and all of that. We could go on and on, but I'm so thankful that there was a group of people that decided that we're not going to do it the world's way or man's way. We're going to do it the Bible way, and they made a decision to come to America and start a nation really founded upon the Word of God, and they did all of that by faith. We know that. You read any of those accounts of them coming over and the lives that were lost and the children that died just on the journey coming over here on those ships and all that they had to deal with, the diseases and other freezing temperatures and how many died in that first winter that they were here. All of that they did by faith, you know that. But just thinking about that this week in our great nation. Now, as we began last week looking at what kind of faith we should have and the faith we need to have, we began and saw how that God desires and asks us kindly, but then He also commands it to have faith. Do you have faith in Him? You and I believe, speaking here to saved individuals, that you've had faith. You exercised faith in Christ Jesus when you accepted Him as your personal Savior, and you said, Lord, I believe, not by sight, but by faith, right? Now, those maybe haven't been saved yet. I would encourage you, obviously, to make that decision. It is by faith. Now, notice Matthew 14. We come to the account and see in this account that really there's the feeding of the 5,000 that take place in verses 15, all the way to 21. We won't read all of that. And then Jesus sends the multitude away and He sends His disciples away and He goes to a place to pray. Notice verse 23, if you will. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And it began beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. A wonderful example this morning of a lack of faith. And Peter was an incredibly strong personality, and you know that. And he was the first one to stand up and want to fight for Jesus, and the first one to say that, I'll follow You, Lord. I'll do that. I'll be the one. And he took the leadership role in those areas. But he was also the one that exercised bad faith, if you will, in the Savior. And he answered and he said, Lord, if You'll let me come out there on the water. And the Lord said, sure, come on out. Come on out. I'm willing to. He was come out and he began to look at the circumstances around us, the wind and the waves. Now, these men were fishers. They've been fishing on that sea for probably 20 to 30 plus years. I mean, they weren't that old, but many years from the time they were little boys with their father. At least James and John did. And Peter and his brother did. So they knew this sea and they saw the storm that arose and they said, boy, this is not a good thing. It's going to take, I've seen men, they probably said, I've seen men of lesser skill get drowned and their ships crumble and all those things. And he looked down and he said, boy, I don't know. And as Peter began to walk on the sea, he looked around and saw what was going on around him and he began to sink. Now we see here this morning, Peter decided to test the Lord to be sure that the figure he was seeing was actually the Lord. You ever do that? I do that. We ever test God? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, recently we said something about maybe throwing out a fleece and Lord confirming something. And in our church right now, we're trying to make a very big decision. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we test God even though we know He's already answered. He's already confirmed something. He's already said yes, or He's already said no. Lord, if it's You, notice that, verse 28, if it's You, Jesus has already said it's Him. Yeah, it's Me, guys. Be not afraid. Peter said, well, if it is You, it is You. You and I need to exercise our faith, often test Him out of insecurity or out of a lack of obedience. He asked if He could come. The Lord said, come. Peter stepped out. He began to walk. As he began to walk, you can understand and think about this, that he thought to himself, goodness sake, I can't believe I'm walking on water. No one's ever done this. There's a sense of pride probably at first. I'm so excited, man. Look at me, fellas. Hey, you know. And he took his eyes off Jesus. He says when he saw the wind began to blow, and he was walking up a wave and then walking down a wave, and he thought, man, this is probably not a good thing. I'm going to sink. I know what's under these waters, you know. He began to sink. His faith began to waver. As you and I, you know where I'm going with this point, number one, but as we focus on the circumstances around us, we begin to sink. Our faith begins to wane. You ever been plagued with doubt? We know that. Peter believed, he stepped out. That was the first step, but he began to doubt. We doubt. You and I doubt God from one time or another. We doubt Him in certain circumstances and situations. Faith, as we said last week, is placing confidence in something to the point you're willing to trust it in areas beyond your personal control, right? Some of you, for lack of a better term, you're control freaks and you like to control things. Not me, though, right? No. You like to control stuff. You like to be in control and other things, and it's beyond your personal control. And you say, Lord, I can't do a thing. I trust You. I trust You. I've been reading recently of different individuals that went through and per se were going through some kind of church building process, or they were moving into a new building or something. I'd just been kind of researching and studying. It's very interesting. And obviously the first person I go to is David and Solomon. And David began to prepare, and David said, Lord, I want to build a house for You. I dwell in this giant home and all these nice fancy things, and You dwell in a tent. And the Lord said, well, that's a good thing, and I appreciate your heart and your willingness to do that, David. He said, but you're not allowed to build Me a home. You're a man of war. You shed blood. He said, but your son can do it. And so David began to prepare for the next generation to build. And he began to prepare, and he got all the material ready for that young man. And Solomon, you know, was a young boy when he ascended the throne. And then Solomon followed through. Solomon didn't have to follow through building the home. He could have done all the other things he wanted to do. But he said, you know what? David made a promise to God, and he followed through with it. And he came and he said, Lord, guide us and help us. Before he even put the hammer to one nail or the saw to one piece of fir tree or cedar tree, as they used, what did he do? He came before God. He said, God, I cannot do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to lead Thy people. I need Your wisdom. And you think about some of those things. But God is desiring for all of us to exercise great faith, and it takes faith in Him. And we can't look at the circumstances around us, as we see Peter did, and look at all the things and run the numbers through our head, and it may not work, and it just looks like nothing's happening. We trust God, don't we? We keep focused on Him. And we look to Him and say, Lord, You have Your will and Your way in my life. That takes faith. Because God may send something our way that we don't like. God may put us in a sick circumstance. God may say no to us. I know that's hard to take, isn't it? He may say no. And what do? We have to take it by faith. Faith that God has something better for us in the future. Ephesians 3:20. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. All above. We're not dealing with a God today that says, here's a little bit of the crumbs, here's a little bit of the leftovers. You don't deserve that, so I'll give you a little bit of slice of the pie here. No, God says, I want to do exceeding abundantly above. But what we do is what? Our lack of faith, and we say, well, Lord, I know You want me to step out by faith, but You know me, I just can't do it. And Peter said, Lord, I want to step out, and he did. Faith placing confidence in Him. We have faith. As we said last week, in many people all around the world, people exercise faith. I think about just last week, the building inspector came into that condo building in Surfside, Florida, and he said, "This is not good. You need to get the people out. The structure is not safe and sound." And the manager basically said, "You know, I have nothing to do. I can't do anything about it." And what happened? It collapsed, and now everyone's in trouble. And they're still finding people in the rubble and all of those things that you think about. Oh, my friends, today, they put faith in people and in things. And think about this. Today, we need to put faith, as I say repeatedly, in our Lord. The disciples obeyed the Lord as a storm arose. Their faith was disturbed, and they doubted. The one thing that will disturb your faith and irritate your faith is doubt, are the things that come our way. Let me say a few things here. We doubt God. I said a couple of these as we left off last week, but why do we doubt the Lord? Why do we not trust Him like we should? We focus on the circumstances instead of Him. Simon took his eyes off the Lord. Notice, took his eyes off Him. He saw the wind, verse 30, boisterous. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. Notice that he saw. You know, the problem is with that, one of the biggest areas that disturbs our faith is what we see. Because we walk by sight, not by faith. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that true? Everything we see, oh, can't do it. I see what's happening. I saw what happened. I see. I saw. That's what happened. Eve, in the very beginning, what's it say? When she saw the fruit, not tasted, but saw, not felt it, she saw it, that it was good. And she said, "Boy, I want that." We got to guard what we see and guard what we hear. Obviously, you know that. But why do we doubt God? We take our eyes off of Him and put it upon the wind and the waves. And look at that. He momentarily forgot who had told him to step out of the water, who had told him to come. "Come, come unto me." God's able. He's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to Him. He will in no wise cast us out, or him out, or her out, will he? Anyone that comes, he's willing. Revelation says, "Let him come and drink of the water freely. Him that thirsteth, drink freely." God desires for us to come to Him, but we must stay focused. It's easy in that beginning to step out by faith, maybe as we think about salvation, but it continues after that. Do you ever notice, and I know that you have, if you've been saved more than 3 days, you realize that God works constantly in your life to build your faith after the moment of salvation, doesn't He? Every day, build. Every time we get stagnant and stale and start to sit back and get lackadaisical and apathetic, the Lord does something to get us back, get us to where we need to be, get us to go, get us to focus, all of those things. He began to lean on His own understanding. He said, "Lord, I can't do it." He was afraid. He was afraid. Notice that. But he did the right thing, and I like it. He, beginning to sing, saying, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." How many Christians today don't say, "Lord, save me," but they go to something else to save them? They go to something else to relieve the pressure. They go to something else to help relieve the stress and strain. Oh, how sad it is that we have believers today. We're all susceptible to it, that go to other things instead of Christ. And it says, verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand." Jesus didn't say, "You ding dong, I told you not to look, take your eyes off me. All right, I'll get over there and I'll hold on a second." No, what did He say? Immediately. Said He reached down. I love that. Immediately He reached down and stretched forth His hand, caught him. I don't know. It doesn't say where He grabbed Peter, but I don't know if He grabbed his arm. I think He grabbed him by the back of the neck or the shirt collar, picked him up like an old puppy dog, picked him up. "Here you go." Peter's sitting there going, "Sorry about that. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean it that way." But it says He stretched forth His hand, caught him, said unto him, "Oh, you wonderful man of God that stepped out onto the water, you at least did it. None of the other disciples did it." What's He say? "Thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" That's a rebuke from Jesus Christ Himself. And we don't want to get rebuked from Jesus. That's a harsh day. That's a hard day for all of us. But He says, "Where's your faith?" Now notice that. Focus on the circumstances. What are you dealing with today? Now I'm saying in the negative light, there are some positive circumstances around us that usually catch our eye and get us off Jesus. Positive things. Things are going well. You have projects. you're working on, and workplace and other things you got to get done, and goals and hobbies and other things that we all get caught up in. And there's nothing wrong with those things. And that's why it takes us and gets us and deceives us, takes our faith off Jesus, doesn't it? Well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. We forsake the assembly, I said last week. Secondly, not only circumstances, but forsaking the assembly can cause doubt. Believers today, saved people, as I said last week with the example of John 20 with Thomas, forever known throughout history as Doubting Thomas. Boy, poor guy. I feel bad for him. He was so faithful until that one incident, and now he's forever known as Doubting Thomas. But people that are saved and they forsake the assembly, they forsake the time in God's house, they are doubting Christians. They're fearful. They're worrisome. They're negative. They're pessimistic people. You ever been around those type of people? They're not in church. They don't prioritize the house of God. Well, that church doesn't fit me, doesn't suit me. Then find a church that does, right? That church, I don't agree with some of the things the pastor says. I don't agree with his leadership. Then find a church that does. We make excuses, don't we? All the time. So thankful for all of you. So faithful to God's house. So thankful. But Thomas refused to believe. He refused to believe. He insisted on seeing for himself. You remember what he says? Unless I see and touch. Walk by sight, not by faith. He wanted to see it. I want to see it. I want to touch it. Let me hasten here. Number three, refusing to confess sin causes doubt. Psalm 66, 18, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not, what? Hear me. Doesn't say bless me, take care of me. Hear me. We need God to hear us. And the reason that we don't have God hearing us, and oh, I pray that God hears us, that we have something between me and my Savior. Nothing between me and my Savior. It breaks our fellowship, blinds the eye of faith. Suffering, fourthly, can cause doubt. We read James 1, but suffering. He says, think it not strange, Peter says, when you fall into those things. James encourages in the same light. Satan sees to sow doubt in the depressed mind. Doubt is a serious matter, needs immediate correction. If you have doubt and doubting God and doubting His power, doubting His work and doubting His strength and all, something's wrong. It's a great indicator, isn't it? Doubting His goodness, doubting He's there for us and He wants to guide us and help us and bless us. There's something off. It's a good indicator. So how can we develop strong faith? Let me finish up with this last point. How can we develop this strong faith? Well, we need the Word of God. Now, notice the Lord said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, when they were come, notice, into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, there's another occasion, as you know, in Matthew 8, just a handful of verses, or chapters, prior to this event, when what did Jesus do? There was a great storm again on the sea, and He came out and He rebuked with a loud voice the wind and the rain and the storm. And immediately, I don't think it was a kind of a slow kind of hush down, immediately the wind stopped. The rain stopped. Now the waves were probably still sloshing and they slowly slowed down. But they said this statement, what manner of man is this, that the wind and the sea and the storm obey Him? And for the first time they realize this. Now they come back to this situation and it's interesting that they now are doubting Him again, even though they've seen the power and authority that Jesus Christ has over the elements, really, of this earth. They still doubt. You and I know that. We've seen God work. We've seen Him control us. We've seen Him guide us. We've seen Him bless us. We've seen Him answer the prayer that we had in the hospital bed. We've seen Him answer the prayer of our financial problems. We've seen it time and time again. And yet, when He presents something else to us, what do? Doubt. We doubt again. How can we have strong faith? That faith we need. Now, let's go to Romans 10, if you will, and go to a specific verse, a great verse, by the way, to memorize. If you haven't memorized it yet, Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, verse 17. A great verse to study, to memorize, to look at. So then faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Very easy. Faith comes by hearing. How can we develop the strong faith we need? Well, number one, it's studying the source of faith, which is the Word of God. You have strong faith in your life, it's going to come directly from the Bible. directly from the Word of God, directly from His very words, plural, that He's given to us. Great faith. Weak faith comes from a closed book, closed Bible. Weak family faith comes from a closed Bible. We know that. Study the Bible as the source of faith. It tells us who God is and what He is. It tells us how to know Him and how to live for Him. It tells us what He wants us to do. It tells us where we came from and what we're supposed to do here and then where we're going when we die. We must receive the information and then choose to believe it. We must choose to believe it. Again, that comes back to our faith in Him. We must apply the information to our lives. Take it for what it is. Apply it and use it. Don't just read it. Too many people read the Bible but don't apply it and don't live it. It tells us what God has promised for us and to do for us. We must learn the promises and learn to claim them. You need to know the promises. There's really some key, vital, probably I would say 7 to 8 promises in the New Testament that you need to learn and know specifically. Now there's many more than that, but those specific ones, claim it. The old name it and claim it that's been out for the last 20 years or so. We don't believe in that. You tell God you want this and He'll give it to you. That's not true. That's not biblical. But what we do is we take the promises of God. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, if He'll never leave me or forsake me, then that helps me walk in this world, doesn't it? Daily. I'll take care of you and all those things that He promises. But anyways, He gives us those promises. We must learn to wait on Him and for His perfect timing. Boy, that's something we're dealing with right now. We're trusting Him. We're waiting. His timing is always perfect. There's a term in the New Testament. It's in due time. D-U-E, time, due time. That means God's timing. In due time, what? He brought forth His firstborn, brought forth the Son, made of a virgin, made under the law, all those things. Due time. It's God's timing. It shows us great examples of faith. Great examples. I think of one, and I have one here, and Stephen of the New Testament, Acts 6 and 7. Stephen is a man that exercised incredible faith. Stephen popped on the scene as a faithful man that they began to use greatly within the first and early church, and he was already dead and gone by the next chapter. Faith brought him to a place of service. Faith made him a powerful preacher. Acts 6, verse 8. Stephen's faith gave him boldness and courage. His faith brought him commendation. His faith made him usable, but let me say his faith also brought him death. His faith brought him death. If Stephen would have just shut his mouth and stayed kind of under the radar with the other people of the church, he wouldn't have been stoned to death. He wouldn't have been killed. But he decided, I'm going to step out by faith because he knew God was leading and directing him and guiding him and all of that. So we have great examples of faith. It teaches us the power of faith. I'm talking about the Word of God here. The Word of God gives us examples, gives us promises, and teaches us the power of faith. Power. Hebrews 11, would you go there with me? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, looking at this, we went through this just a couple months ago or so. And the great hall of fame of faith. But example after example of the faith were to exercise. You know that. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. And he goes on and on with great examples, doesn't he? Faith enables us to understand what we cannot see. Verse 3, what we can't see. Some things you just need to take by faith. Not blind faith, we're just taking it by faith. God said it and I believe it. The old little song chorus we used to sing. God said it, I believe it. That settles it for me. That's it. And we take it by faith, but it shows us that. How can you explain the planets? How can you explain the ocean? How can you explain gravity? How can you explain? We take many things. Now we have great, great scientists and others that help us with that. But notice, faith enables us also to worship God His way. Verse 4, He offered a more excellent sacrifice. You know, God's way is not easy. It's not. Our way is easy to us. God's way is not easy. And he came to Cain and Abel, and they knew the way God wanted them to worship him and serve him. And Abel said, well, I'll do it your way. Cain said, I don't want to do it that way. I'll do it my way. I'll do it the way I think I should do it. And that's the world today. They refuse God's righteousness and refuse his way and say, I'll do it my way. I'll do it with God. God's way is not always easy. For Stephen, it was not easy when the stones were being hurled at his head and his body and he was literally dying. What did he say? Basically, lay not this there to their charge, you know, Lord. As Jesus said on the cross, they know not what they do. That takes faith. Faith in God. But notice, we worship God his way. We do it his way. It's not always easy, but by faith we do it. Faith also enables us to walk with God daily. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before this translation he had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. He pleased him. We can walk daily with God. We can serve him. Although the world around us is wicked and vile and their co-workers are not serving Christ and they don't have a good marriage and they could care less about the faith and spirituality of their children, they could care less about all of those things. You walk by faith daily with him. Faith enables us to obey God in difficult situations. Verse 7, Noah, you know that, moved with fear, prepared an ark. He became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. In difficult situations, faith enables us to follow God wherever he leads us. Verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed, and he went out. Obeyed and went out. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Right? I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. And he says, take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my Savior say. Right? We see and understand that we follow wherever he leads. Abraham, it says, he was called to go out. He obeyed, not knowing whither he went, not knowing what God had in store, but we follow. One of the greatest things you can do as an individual, as a Christian, as a church member, is show up and be faithful. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, maybe we don't get what we want. Maybe we don't get what we've been praying for. But just show up and be faithful. Keep going, because you may miss what God is doing. You may miss what God has for you and has for us. Now, let me finish it out here. Enables us to accomplish the impossible. The impossible, verse 11, Sarah was delivered past age because she judged him faithful who had promised, again, relying upon the promises of God. Faith enables us to pass the severe tests that come our way. Oh, all of that. Verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Offered him up. Severe tests sometimes. Faith enables us to forsake the worldly riches that Moses went through. Verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people. Do you have faith today? This is what the Bible shows us. If we understand and study the examples and we say, you know what, maybe my day's not so bad. Maybe Monday's not so bad when I think about Moses, Sarah, Abraham, Isaac, Enoch, Abel. Maybe it's not so bad. I saw a quote just the other day, and it was so convicting to me, but he said this, there are millions of people in the world right now that would give anything to have your bad day. Right? Your bad day. Today, there's people that are not celebrating and having hot dogs and hamburgers in a good old-fashioned time. They're wondering how they're going to feed their little baby. They're wondering how and where they're going to sleep. They're wondering how they're going to survive, how they're going to get away from this tyrannical regime that wants to control, and they come and take their little girls, 6, 7, 8 years old, and take them into the temple and turn them into you know what. Those are the kind of people. And I thought about that. Oh, Lord God, help us. You think about today, where's our faith? Our faith enables us to live for him and do what we're supposed to do. So apply the principles of faith. Exercise your faith. When you may have difficult decisions in life, exercise faith. When you become troubled, maybe the cares of this world, be careful for nothing but give it him. Let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God. Fully obey God's commands. And don't faint when the trials come. Have faith. Don't faint. We all have faith, but sad to say, most people have misplaced faith. They trust man or things and fail to trust God. Where is your faith today? Where is it at? Do you have the kind of faith that the Bible speaks of? The kind of faith that God desires for each one of us and for each one of his children. So many have misplaced faith. Oh, they want God when the heartaches come and when the children are sick and when the marriage is falling apart, when the finances aren't coming in. Oh, they want God. But what happens when all of that's taken care of? They don't show up. They're nowhere to be found. When he has steady, consistent, serving, godly, spirit-filled faith in him. All right, I'll stop there today. Thank you for being so faithful to God's house. And again, I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend around your loved ones and family. And we will, Lord willing, see you back here next Sunday. All right. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to share your word and gather around your word this morning. Thank you for those that have been so faithful and just so grateful to you, Lord, and appreciative of your great grace in our lives. And sometimes we forget about our perspective, Lord, what we truly have in you. But Lord, help us. You're not asking much from us. You don't ask us to do very much. You're not asking us, Lord, to do some difficult things. You're asking us to obey you, follow you, trust you. And at times you will ask us to do hard and difficult things, and Lord, we would have the faith to do that. Lord, give us the strength to keep our focus on you. As Peter stepped out, he looked around and saw all the problems and difficulties and trials and heartaches and pain and everything that's in this world. And for him, it was that big storm. He began to sink and threatened with death. And he stretched out and he called out, said, Lord, save me. You were there immediately to save him. Lord, help us have greater faith, trusting you, looking to you, not those things around us. We love and thank you again, Lord. Guide us now this week. Keep us safe in Jesus' name and amen.